Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on bubble quake when we come back. You know, in 1787, the writers of our Constitution put in this clause at Article 1, Section 10, 17 words. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt." Now, that clause follows the biblical injunction on just weights and balances that we see in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Now, private business is carried on in gold and silver coin. It's public business that is conducted in commercial paper. Commercial paper, things like stocks, bonds, Federal Reserve notes, credit, credit cards, debt, and usury. Well, back in 1965, our Congress said that there's no difference in the value of gold and silver coin and clad coin and currency. And that's very true when you're dealing with banks and government and commercial industries. But in the real marketplace out here on Main Street, there's a 7-to-1 difference in the purchasing power. And there's a 7-to-1 difference in the taxes that are due on that paper over gold. Now, God and our founding fathers didn't give us gold and silver coin for no good purpose. They knew that as a matter of law, gold and silver coin is absolutely necessary for you and I to deal in order for us to establish our property rights. Well, neither did our Congress and politicians take our gold and silver away from us for no good reason either. They knew, and they knew full well back in 1933 when they did it, that in order to subjugate a free people, they would first have to take away the people's gold and silver coin in order to take away the people's property rights and to destroy those property rights. So if you and I intend to regain our rights, duties, and capacities, then you and I are going to have to regain our property and property rights first, because property is the legal foundation for all of our liberties. So let me teach you how to do just that in our business school, which is now on compact disc for adult homeschooling. Now, for more information about our private business school, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. Doesn't cost you anything to find out. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative, it's entertaining, and it's educational. And best of all, it's free. And you can call right now to order yours. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now remember, our business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and then send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Bubble quake. It's an odd name. Bubble quake, America's bubble economy. In a book written by David Widmer, he's a PhD economist, a mainstream economist. And he wrote a pretty interesting book called Bubble Quake, describing a new era in the American economy. Never before have we had these types of bubbles, or as many of them. Listen to this. We have a housing bubble, a stock bubble, a bond bubble, a dollar bubble, a balance of payments bubble, a national debt, underfunded pensions, personal debt, credit card, adjustable rate mortgages, 11% inflation, and a foreign invasion of America resulting in the offshoring of our jobs. Now, this guy is a mainstream evolutionist in his thinking. He's not a gold bug, and he tells you very plainly that he's not a gold bug, that he's not mentally unbalanced, as most of the conventional economists point to us and say, why, those guys are gold bugs, they're kind of nuts and looney tunes. And he's got a chapter in the book which deals with these gold bugs and the people who have been advocating gold, such as in 1979. They rode the gold bubble up to the top and then rode the gold bubble from the top right back down to the bottom over the next 20 years or so. So he's pretty familiar with this thing of bubbles, and it happens that his dad got into gold in the 1970s and rode the gold bubble to the top and watched his dad ride the gold bubble from the top down to the bottom. And so he's got a chapter in there that warns you about that. And so I thought we'd start with chapter 5 that he has entitled Cashing In on the Chaos. So the first four chapters deal with, let's take a look at each one of these bubbles one at a time, and let's see if we really have a bubble economy. And I think he makes a pretty good case for that. But then, you know, a lot of the fringe writers, you know, like Don McIlvaney, for instance, called Mr. Gloom and Doom or Dr. Gloom and Doom, or any of them, you know, the Magombo Guru I've mentioned to you from time to time, or maybe the Franklin Sanders newsletter on the Money Changer, or John Chapman, you know, on the International Forecaster. You know, I mention these from time to time, the Privateer and others. And these guys are called gold bugs and gloom and doomsters. Gloom and doomsters. But you know, there was a time before the Great Depression of 1929, the Great Depression of 1907, the Depression of 1922. As you go back and you look at these boom and bust cycles, then ask yourself, well, what causes a boom and bust cycle? Where do they come from? They've been around for a long time. Well, there's a cause for this, and it's called paper money. Paper money causes these boom and bust cycles, and our Creator, our God, in the Scripture, pointed that out to us and gave us a couple of laws along these economic lines. He said, don't steal, and don't use unjust weights and balances. But, of course, he doesn't know much about high finance and economies and international balance of payments and things like that. And so, fortunately for God, he has you and I, you know, you and me, and a whole host and plethora of other academians, you know, that go to college and get PhDs and one thing and another, and they come out and explain to us, well, here's why gold doesn't work, and here's why we need a central bank, and here's why we need money, you know, real money, paper, that comes from a real bank, like the Federal Reserve. And so we came in on the scene, and we said, well, we're going to fix God's mistake, and so for the last couple of hundred years here in the United States, we have had an opportunity to write down, this is called history. History is a contraction of two words called his story. It's the story of man. History is the story of man. It's our experience. And as my old daddy used to explain to me, he said, son, there's nothing like experience to learn from. But it's a god-awful hard teacher. And you'd be best served if you'd listen to your old dad, who will tell you what the answer to that riddle is going to be. But if you need to reinvent the wheel every generation, get after it. So I went out and I reinvented the wheel in several of these important lessons of life. I knew that my dad couldn't possibly be right. Then after I reinvented the wheel, I said, well, that's what he said. And that's what he said that his dad said, and that's what his dad said that his dad said. And dads have been telling their children, you know, for thousands of years about their experiences. It's called history. We don't learn much from history. In fact, a famous historian back in the 60s, his name was Arthur Schlesinger, he said that history does not have to necessarily be an expositor of future events. And I looked at that and I said, well, that runs opposite or counter to the story that I always heard, and that is that history repeats itself. Old Mark Twain said, well, if history doesn't repeat itself, it sure as hell got a loud echo. So let's take a look a little bit at history, and then let's look into the future as Bubblequake in Chapter 5 points out, cashing in on the chaos. How do we make money? How do we make a profit off of the coming Great Depression of the 2000s or the 21st century? He starts off by saying, finally, we've arrived at that wonderful silver lining that we keep telling you about. Actually, there's so much money to be made on this temporary black cloud that the silver lining will be truly golden. And those of us who are willing to face facts early and clearly and then move quickly and correctly will not only be able to cover our assets while others lose their shirts and pants and shoes, we can even make huge profits on this unusual moment in history, perhaps more money than you ever thought possible. And that's because, unlike in the past, this particular set of bubbles has something that few of the past bubbles could ever hope to provide. It provides a real chance to profit not only as the bubbles go up, but also as the bubbles come down. So how is that possible? If we make money on a bubble by buying when prices are low and then selling when the prices are high, how in the world are we going to profit or make a profit when the prices fall? Isn't the best we can hope for is not to take too big a loss? Well, under normal conditions, all that's true. But as you probably have noticed by now, these are not exactly normal conditions that we're experiencing today. And the big difference with this set of unique circumstances is that we do not have a single isolated bubble, such as the Dutch tulip bubble, where the price of one particular item, for example, tulip bulbs, has temporarily gone sky high and then crashes back to earth. Not this time. In this particular golden moment, we have several bubbles, multiple bubbles, some rising and many falling. So instead of just saving our neck by getting out of a bubble before it falls, this time you can hop off of one bubble as it falls and onto another bubble as it rises. And here's the really good news. You don't have to be rich to get a whole lot richer. Now, the Dutch tulip investors would be spring green with envy because there is coming a massive transfer of wealth. And as terrible as our temporary cloud will be for the United States and other nations, the bursting of America's bubble economy will also be a real godsend for many smart, reasonable, rational people who figure out how to be on the receiving end of what will be a truly massive transfer of wealth. And by transfer of wealth, we mean the movement of wealth from one group of individuals and businesses to another group of individuals and businesses. So whether wealth transfers away from you or transfers toward you during this very unusual window of opportunity is largely in your own hands, literally. And right now, you are holding the introductory information that you need to move fast, cover your assets, and then create significant wealth when the bubble economy falls. So think of this chapter as Transfer of Wealth 101. Not every detail each individual may need to know, but it's a basic foundation for thinking differently about your assets and investments, and a starting point for learning more about how to apply this new way of thinking to your own unique financial situation. So I'm going to pause right there, put my famous arrow in the margin, and make an observation. Now, this guy has a PhD, and he's an economist and an investor. And this is a book that is typically written to the investing class, as opposed to, you know, you and I, the Joe Sixpacks, and the Sally Housewives, the truck drivers and carpenters and the plumbers, electricians, and so on. You know, the average Joe Sixpack, the working stiff, you know, who's driving truck or doing his thing, getting his paycheck every week, he's not thinking about how do I invest in Microsoft for my retirement. He's more concerned about, will there be a social security check so that I can pay the rent and keep a roof over my head when I'm too old to work? So let's be thinking about jobs. And this guy in this chapter now has a whole section in here about the Joe Sixpack. You know, the guy that's working for wages. And what are the businesses, what are the jobs, what are the occupations that are going to be in demand in a depression? And what kinds of jobs and what kinds of investments do we have today that are going to be worth nothing or near nothing, like your pension plan at United Airlines? Now, the United States of America has gone bankrupt twice in our recorded history. The first time was in 1783, and the second time was in 1933. So twice the United States of America has gotten to a position in its economy when it was unable to pay its bills, and so it had to go bankrupt. Well, when nations go bankrupt, they don't go down and file with the local bankruptcy court. You saw how Argentina went bankrupt in 2001. And there was a result that came from that bankruptcy. And if you read and look at history, you'll see how America went bankrupt in 1783. And George Washington wrote a letter to a friend in 1790, 7 years later, describing how, with the new Constitution and the new gold money, the sound weights, or the just weights and balances, how the American economy had turned around in just 36 months. So the end of the world doesn't come when America goes bankrupt the next time around. There's life after bankruptcy. But there's this massive transfer of wealth that's going to go on. And if you're a truck driver, you might want to consider, do I want to be driving for this company or should I be working for some other outfit? Or you might be saying, well, gee, if I'm a construction worker today, how is construction going to fare in a prolonged contraction of economic activity? And he points out that construction is going to be in the pits. And I'm an old-timey general contractor, and I can tell you from personal experience that when these recessions come on, building stops. But that doesn't mean that there isn't repairs that need to be done. So he recommends that if you're an electrician, why don't you get into repairs early? Because when people have houses and their electricity doesn't work, somebody's got to come and fix it. And they're looking for somebody that's going to fix it on the cheap. So if you're a union electrician working out of the union hall, waiting for some big building project to come up over here, you might be waiting for a long time. But if you're Joe Sixpack electrician and you're out here doing repairs independently out of your living room, you know, here's an opportunity for you to get through the Great Depression of the 21st century with your pants on. So he talks about, we all know the age-old expression that the rich get richer. History has certainly proven it to be true. Now, however, we're about to enter a rare period in which not only the rich, but also the so-called little guy has a real opportunity to cash in big if we play it smart. And frankly, we'd all better play it smart, because those of us who are not currently among the super wealthy have a particularly pressing need to protect our limited assets and to make each and every investment work for us. Now, the coming months and years will offer all sorts of highly unusual financial opportunities at a time when we also have a great deal of handy financial tools that were not previously available to us. Shorting the market, for example, has been around for years. But how can we also short currency and bond futures? We now have a more sophisticated market for trading stock options, and beyond stocks, there is a bonanza to be made by buying and leveraging gold and euros, discussed in the following pages, with electronic trading just a few mouse clicks away. So access to United States and world markets has never been easier or faster with or without a broker. So let's take a little look at risk. Naturally, all these golden opportunities also carry some risks. Risk is traditionally a four-letter word when it comes to investing, and certainly the less risk, the better. But the risks that you face by taking steps to protect current assets and to create significant future wealth during the coming bubble quake are relatively minor compared to the truly terrible 100% guaranteed risk of sitting back and doing nothing while your assets evaporate right before your eyes and once-in-a-lifetime opportunities permanently pass you by. So I'm going to underline that term. You know, you've heard of this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now, I don't believe that's true. Now, I'm an old-timer. I'm getting kind of elderly now, but I have found in my life that opportunity is like rain. It's everywhere. Opportunity is everywhere, and it's there all the time. It's being able to recognize it and take advantage of it, or it's being able to get off the couch and shut off the TV and go to work. Americans are unable to get off their dead ass, off the couch, off the TV, and go to work. And then after all, why should they? For instance, down in Louisiana, I heard the other day a report came out of Louisiana from one of my students that he's got a McDonald's franchise down there, and he's paying $15 an hour. $15 an hour to run a McDonald's store in New Orleans to labor because he can't get anybody that wants to work. Well, think about it pragmatically. There's billions of dollars of federal and state and private aid pouring into New Orleans for the rebuilding operation. Many of those people are still on the dole. So if you're on the dole and you're sitting home every day getting a paycheck from the government or some private outfit, why would you want to go out and work? You know, unlike the hurricane that hit Galveston, Texas in 1900, before the era of massive government aid, those people, the survivors, had to get up, bury their dead, and go to work the next morning, whether they liked it or not. Because if they didn't work, they didn't eat. It was an era in America, it was a wild new concept to most Americans today, that if you don't work, you don't eat. And so Americans don't like to work. We like welfare. We like easy money. And for people like that, investing or survival from the coming bubble quake, I don't think is possible. Those are victims riding on the Titanic. Now, there are some of us, you know, that aren't afraid to get out and go to work. And if you're one of those that can work, I mean, get up and sweat, and when you put in a day's work, you know, the beads of sweat run down your forehead, run down the bridge of your nose and drip off the end of your nose. If you can do that, you can probably do this. So when you see once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, you always remember that that old man on the radio said, opportunity is like rain. Opportunity is everywhere. It's up to you to take advantage of it. Now, later in this chapter, we'll discuss ways that you can assess your own level of risk or risk tolerance to help guide you in your personal decision-making. But for now, please understand this. There are many, many times in life when doing nothing is absolutely the smartest, safest, best thing to do. But, dear reader, this is not one of those times. This is a time that demands action. And, of course, each individual's specific financial situation is unique, and we always recommend that you consult with your professional financial and tax advisors before selling or buying any of your assets. And the authors and their expert associates are available for customized consulting to individuals and businesses based upon the ideas and analysis introduced in this book. So what follows, however, is a general discussion of our general views on general asset protection and general wealth creation during the coming general economic changes. So get the general idea. So let me pause here and make my editorial comment. This book is written by a professional who is looking for business. And if you want to call this guy on the phone, you can. I'm not recommending him one way or the other. I don't know the guy. I don't get paid anything for reviewing his book. When I do a book review, I do so after I've read the book and I've analyzed it myself from my perspective as a Joe Sixpack, and from my perspective from experience, I say, I think this guy's got something to offer. Now, this guy's philosophies on evolutionary philosophy I don't subscribe to and I don't recommend. And his advocacy of paper money and banks and shorting the market and stocks and bonds, I don't recommend that, because our God, our Creator himself, told us not to engage in unjust weights and balances. So when we get to those points or positions or places in the book, I'll point that out to you, and then I'll say, well, now listen to this. This is absolutely scriptural. This you can take to the bank, you know, as they say. You can go to the Bible and look it up. So some of his conclusions, based upon his position in life and his life's experiences, he doesn't have any qualms about dealing in paper money. But I do. The paper money is what's caused our problem, and I think that when you get a dose of clap, that you don't need to go back to Flo's Whorehouse looking for a cure. Flo's Whorehouse is where you got that VD to start with, and you'd be better advised to stay away from Flo's place. But you know, human beings are human beings, and they just got to go back to Flo's. And when that happens, you know, there's risk. And when you engage in that kind of risk, well, there's a possibility you might lose. You know, you don't win every time you throw the dice. So he talks about customized analysis for your specific industry, business, or investment goals, and I'll leave that out. You can buy the book yourself if you want to get a copy. Let me tell you where you can get one. It's called America's Bubble Economy, Profit When It Pops, by David Weidemir, or Weidemir, Weidemer, Ph.D. Actually, there's five authors here to the book, but I think if you went to John Wiley and Sons Incorporated, came from Barnes & Noble, that's where my wife bought it the other day. She goes in and buys me two or three books every week. That isn't because I can read two or three books every week, but I look at them, and then this one here caught my attention. It said, Coming Economic Bubble Quake. That sounds pretty interesting. And it's got a Library of Congress catalog number. I won't waste time on that. Just get down. David Weidemer, Weidemer, John Wiley and Sons, published in 2006. John Wiley and Sons, you can get that from Barnes & Noble or probably Amazon or somebody. He goes on to say, above all else, cover your assets. So let's start with the basics. Survival. There are five non-negotiable bedrock commandments for covering your assets and eliminating or at least minimizing your losses during the coming bubble quake ahead. Most of these rules have to do with what you should not do in the run-up to the coming multiple bubble collapse. No doubt some of these rules will seem contrary to your current investment thinking, and it may require some serious thought before you're willing to act. So asset covering commandment number one is, you shall avoid all real estate purchases except for personal use. And I think the guy is exactly correct about real estate. Now, the top of the real estate market occurred in June of 2005, and from that point on, real estate in the United States has been losing ground. Now, think about this for a second. It peaked. You know, it's been growing and growing and growing. You know, houses have been getting more and more expensive. And in June of 2005, it peaked. And so here we are about a year and a half later, and the market's going down. And markets, when they go up and when they go down, occur over long periods of time, 15 to 20 years. Remember old Franklin Sanders? He says, the trend is your friend. So you follow these long-term trends. And so this guy now, he's telling, he's a mainstream economist, he says, a year and a half late, he comes in, he says, get out of real estate. All right, so now you've got this house or you've got this these rental properties and it's time to sell. If you were listening to this program or you were listening to the International Forecaster two or three years ago, I was telling my listeners, get out of real estate. Get out of real estate, long before June of 2005. And then I said that because better to get out early than to get out late. But even today, in 2006 or 2007 or maybe even in 2008, if you got real estate, while you could have sold it for a higher price, easier, earlier, you know, it's a dog and it's going down by another 40%. The real declines in real estate at this moment in time have not been realized. What we're seeing now over the past year and a half is that there's a larger and larger volume of houses on the market. And what you're seeing is that it's contracting, but you haven't seen a big crash yet. That's yet to come. And it may not crash. It may go down by 5 or 10% a year over a period of 5 to 10 years. It may, as they say in economics, have a soft landing. Well, before it goes down 40, 50% over the next 1, 2, 3, 5 years or whatever, you get out of it now, and then you take your cash, C-A-S-H, and you invest it in something that holds its value or gains in value. Now, that comes up next. So hang on. Don't go away. There's more to come. Let me remind you that you are listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. It's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order one for yourself, just call us direct, 417-273-4967, and ask for one. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. However, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Here's a reminder that we're offering a new class on health and healing, which covers the alternative methods being used for the treatment and healing of such degenerative diseases as cancer, which now affects about one out of every two Americans, and how to prevent degenerative diseases. To use the application of essential oils, supernutrition, foods containing more nutrients and fewer calories. This class includes hands-on teaching, paperwork, allergic reaction testing and training, so you can do it at home, acupressure application and training, so you can find your pressure points, and much, much more to contribute to your ongoing good health. The class is coming in February. That's February 5th through the 9th here in Isabella. If you're interested, then call us here at the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, my wife is a 28-year cancer survivor, and this is a how-to rather than a what-to. And medical doctors keep it simple, and we'll do the same. No five-syllable, double-jointed, knee-action words that impress PhDs and confuse all of us plumbers. And by the way, while I'm on that subject over there, I need another source for Indian black salve. So if there's any of you out there in radio land that has a source for Indian black salve, would you call me here at the law school, 417-273-4967, and clue me in to a source, please. All right, we're reviewing a book called America's Bubble Economy, and he uses the term bubble quake, profit when it pops. I thought he had some pretty good points, and I thought I'd share those with you. So remember rule number one. He starts off, and you get five rules here that we want to cover. Asset covering commandment number one, you shall avoid all real estate purchases except for personal use. Now, in general, real estate is overvalued and it's on the way down. And although there may be some growth potential left in some isolated real estate markets, the next 2 to 6 years are certainly not the right time to add to your real estate portfolio. Even if some markets rebound after a dip, any recovery will likely be short-lived, and the potential risks of investing in real estate over the next several years far outweigh the possible benefits. Now, we understand that this rule may feel as uncomfortable as sleeping in a tent. Buying investment real estate has traditionally been a reliable foundation for building future wealth, but we have to face facts. The American real estate market is in a bubble. It's a long term, and the only direction that the housing bubble is going to move is south, probably even into the deep south. And although it may not be right around the corner, we're simply too close to the bubble collapse to see any significant upside in real estate at this juncture of time. So it's far more likely that you will suffer a loss, perhaps even a massive loss, if you don't get out early enough. Now is a good time to sell any investment real estate that you own other than your home. You still have to have a place to live. By selling now, you may get less than you would like, but it's too hard to time the market perfectly to make holding it worthwhile. And besides, as you'll see later in this chapter, there are much better places to put your money. As tempting as it may be, we suggest that you do not hold onto rental income property, because when the bubbles pop, your rental income will not compensate you for the loss of equity when the value of your real estate in inflation-adjusted terms plummets. You would be much better off simply selling all of your investment real estate before the bubble crash, and then putting that money in much higher return investments, which are explained later. As mentioned earlier, each individual situation may be unique, and we're not suggesting that we know what is in your particular best interest. But it's important to consult your tax advisor before selling any real estate, particularly if you're anticipating a capital gain. I got to tell you a little story here. In 1927, Russell Harvey was in the stock market pretty heavy. And he was born back in 1882. So, you know, by 1927, he was no spring chicken, you know. And he had acquired, over his working career to that point in time, quite a bit of Transamerica stock, which was selling at $273 a share in 1927. Transamerica later became Bank of America, or it was Bank of Italy that became Bank of America, and Transamerica was absorbed, or something on that order. I don't know exactly how that came down, but this old man told me when I was just a kid, you know, 13, 14 years old, what he had done to avoid the Great Depression of the 1930s. And he got wind, because he was a Mason, he got wind through the Masonic Lodge that the economy was going to collapse. So he got out early, 1927, and people laughed at him. They made fun of him, and they said, "Why, you nut, you fruitcake." And the stock market continued to go up for another 2 years. But he took his $273 a share out and put it into gold coin, and he just hung on to it. When the collapse came, those Transamerica stocks, which were later absorbed into Bank of America, in 1935, he bought back into the market at $5 a share. So if you just take 273 and divide that by 5, and that's a gain of 54.6, or about 5,460%. In 1954, those same stocks were worth $54 a share. $55, I think it was. So here's an appreciation from $5 to $55. Let's take 55 and divide that by 5. That's 11 times. That's 1,100%. Now, that's market timing, and it's very important to watch the trend. The stock market is about at its peak. It peaked in 2000. Then it had a recovery from 7,000. It dropped from 12 to 7. And we Americans dropped $7 trillion on that drop. That equity, that money just evaporated. Now it's recovered from 7 to 12. It's in new territory. If the stock market had a real recovery, it would have to be at 14 or 15,000 to equal the $2,000, because we've lost 30% of our purchasing power over the last 6 years. So our dollars have depreciated by 30. So we're at 12.5. Let's just figure it out. 12,500 times 0.30 is 37.50. So take 37.50. And add that to 12.5. The stock market needs to be at 16,250 today to equal what it was in March of 2000. And it's not at 16,250, kids. It's at 12,500. So tuck that one away in your hearts. In purchasing power, inflation-adjusted dollars, the stock market is about 4,000 points below where it needs to be. That's not a money maker. That's a money loser. There's no money in stocks. But old Russell, he sold out and he made money. And this is what this guy is advocating here. Get out of the stock market. Get out of real estate. Get your money into a safe haven. Wait for the collapse and then come back into the marketplace and buy low. That's the way you pyramid your assets. So when the market's topped in real estate in June, the market has already topped in stocks in March of 2000. You've had a little reprieve, but you've still lost money. If you stayed in the stock market when it was at 12,500, and it was at 11,700 when it dropped back to 7,000, not came up to 12,500. You know, most of you people out there have been to public schools and say, "Oh, wow, hey, we're in record territory and we're making money hand over fist." From 11.7 to 12 to 12.7, it's up another 1,000 points. Why, it's going up to 13, 14, 15, I'll just stay in my stocks. Boys and girls, you've already lost money. You've lost your purchasing power. So let's wake up to reality. Stocks aren't the place to be, and neither is real estate. But commandment number one, he says over here now, is get out of real estate. Now, commandment number two, you shall avoid most stocks like the plague. And there are three vital reasons for avoiding stocks. The stock market is up tenfold in 20 years without an equal rise in real earnings. So therefore, we have a bubble. Now, the stock market has been performing poorly for the last 5 years. Therefore, it's only a matter of time before investor confidence wanes. When foreign investors buy fewer U.S. stocks, they also buy fewer U.S. bonds. And when they buy fewer U.S. bonds, interest rates climb and stock values fall. Bottom line, most stocks are overvalued and on their way down. There will be some ups and downs, of course. Is it worth taking a chance on? We don't believe it. So as with real estate, although there may be some potential growth left in the stock market, the timing is very tricky, and it's not worth taking the risk. In the short run, you're about as likely to lose as to gain. And in the long run, all you'll do is lose significantly when stock values begin to seriously plummet. And again, we'll show you much better places to put your money. So we know the idea of getting out of the market may be unappealing, especially if you've been in a while and you've made some money. Remember, be smart and be reasonable. The Dow is up tenfold in 20 years. Real earnings in this same time period are not. And the last 5 years have been pretty lackluster for the U.S. stock market. So it's time to get out and position yourself for much bigger returns elsewhere. Asset covering commandment number three, you shall avoid long-term bonds and bond funds. Interest rates will rise prior to the bubbles falling and will certainly rise very dramatically after the fall. Hence, there's little reason to invest in long-term bonds or bond funds now. The premium for long-term is far too minimal to be worth the risk. You can probably push it for another year or two, but for the small extra return, it's really not worth it. Now, let me give you a little lesson here from old dad. The value of gold and silver has gone up by double over the last 6 years. So the price of gold, which was at $300 an ounce for us peons down here, about 2,000, is now up to $600. And we're sitting over here, and these gold guys, you know, they're writing their newsletters, and they say, you need to be in gold because you just made a killing. You doubled your money while everybody else is losing. And the truth be known, boys and girls, we've lost 30% of the purchasing power of our money. That is the U.S. Federal Reserve Note dollar over the same 6 years. So we haven't made a 100% gain. We made a 70% gain. It's a gain. It's not a loss. It's a gain. But, you know, on the one hand, people will say, and these are the guys writing the newsletters, you need to get into gold because it's at 100% gain. Well, in inflation-adjusted dollars, it isn't 100%. It's 70%. And then people sit there and say, well, look at the stock market. It's regained from 7,000 to 12. Boys and girls, with that same 30% loss, you needed to have a stock market that's up to 16,000 just to stay even. So you guys that are in stocks have been losing your shirts, and you guys that are in gold have not been making as much money as you thought you did. So, you know, let's get the blindfolders off and let's look at reality. There are big gains that will be made in gold and silver, but they haven't been made yet. Now, if you compare the price of gold today at $600 an ounce with the price of gold at $20.67 an ounce in 1930, the price of gold today is a bargain. It's actually priced less today than it is or was in 1930. When we consider that in 1930 we could buy 17 barrels of oil with that same $20 gold piece, today, that same $20 gold piece only buys 6 or 7 barrels of oil. And so you always have to figure, what is the inflation-adjusted purchasing power of my medium of exchange? And Americans go to public school, and they don't factor in the inflation adjustment, which is today, as I speak, in January 2007, running at 11.7% per annum. That's the inflation rate in America today. It's running at 11.7%. That means that next year at this time, January 2008, you have to have an 11.7% increase in your wages or in your income or in your investments. And that's just to stand still. You haven't made a dime. If the price of gold goes up 11.7%, we haven't made a dime. All that means is that we've stood still. If it goes up by 20%, then that means that we've made about 8%. But it's not the 20%. You know, so let's get our heads screwed on straight and let's look at reality the way it really is. Asset covering commandment number 4, thou shalt avoid all evil adjustable rate debt. All adjustable rate loans, credit cards, and adjustable or variable mortgages will become an absolute disaster when the bubbles burst. Interest rates will rise dramatically, and so will your mortgage and other payments. So if you don't get out of these soon, you're going to burn. Now is a great time to lock in long, low-term interest rates. Don't take chances. Get rid of your evil variable rate mortgage and other big debts now. On the other hand, assuming your credit card debt is not that significant, there's no great urgency to pay it off immediately. Even low balance adjustable rate cards can be held a little bit longer. But do unload these before the bubble quake, because interest rates are going to skyrocket and credit terms on your credit cards will not be pretty. If you have investment or personal use real estate currently financed at a variable rate, unload these now, either by selling the real estate or refinancing the loan. If you don't, you're going to be sunk when the bubbles break and your rate shoots way up. So get out now while the getting is good. Now notice that this guy's not opposed to credit cards. I did a series here on credit cards the other day, and I don't think that credit cards are good for you. Just looking at the biblical equation, just looking at what God told us about unjust weights and balances, but you know, that's a decision for you to make. So if you want to stick with credit cards, get after it. But I think you'd be better advised to follow the 15 economic laws of the Scripture and forget about credit cards, Federal Reserve notes, and paper money, and get into something that's a little more intense, a little more intelligent. But his advice here, I think, that concerning these adjustable rate mortgages is right on point. They're going to kill you. So if you've got one of these ARM-type mortgages, refinance it, or sell the property and pass the old maid off to somebody else. Now, there's going to be a lot of people get burned. Now, most people in America are going to get burned. And probably most people around the world are going to get burned, but particularly here in the United States. Now, a few of you may be wise enough to get out while the getting's good. You're a little bit late. You're below the behind the power curve, as they say in flying airplanes. But better to lower the nose now and start gaining some speed while you get a chance. Your airplane's getting closer to the ground. Asset covering commandment number 5. You shall not depend on fixed payment pensions. High interest rates and high inflation coupled with collapsing asset values and a slew of corporate bankruptcies will make any fixed payment plan a complete loser. Many plans have some inflation protection built into the contract, but it likely will not be enough to compensate for very high rates of inflation. And also, even if the contract requires it, the plan may not be able to provide all of the protection that it promises. Even now, during the best of economic times, many pension plans are insolvent, including many state and local government pension plans. They're seriously underfunded. So clearly, during the coming bubble meltdown, this will only get much worse. Even funds covered by the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, also known as PBGC, are at real risk since our bubble troubles get rolling, or once they get rolling, because the PBGC could easily become overwhelmed and funds not covered by the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation will be in even worse condition because they probably won't be bailed out by the government, which will struggle mightily to deal with its own massive debt and massive interest costs. Now, you can expect your property taxes to double four times. That's what happened when the carpetbaggers came into Virginia in 1865. They went into the legislature because the Confederate currency had collapsed, and they doubled the property taxes. In 1866, they doubled them again, and in 1867, they doubled them a third time. In 1868, then they reduced those taxes back to the 1865 levels. After all, once the property had been transacted, once the old owners had been evicted from the property because they were unable to pay the taxes, the new owners, the Yankees, the carpetbaggers that came in there and took advantage of the wealth transfer, they didn't want to pay those high taxes. So whatever real estate that you hang on to, you better be prepared for that doubling of the taxes. And I say four times, it doubled three times there. Better be prepared for four times. So, for instance, I got a 40 over here, and the taxes are $96 a year. So I take 96 times two, and then that takes me to $768. So that 40, the taxes are going to go up to $768 over a period of time. So I put the money away. I put it into a little pile over here. So if you take that times two to 1536, in the fourth year, they could go up to 1536. So you just take that doubling four times, take that little stash, put that into gold or something that'll hold its value, stick that in a coffee can so that you can hang on to that piece of property. So there is a piece of property, such as your home, that you might need to hang on to. But if you're a homeowner and you're leveraged out and you got a $200,000 house with $180,000 worth of mortgage against it, you'd be better off to get what you can out of it. Get into something, a little cottage someplace that you own free and clear, than to have a mortgage hanging over you because you may not be working, partner. Hey, we're about out of time. I'm going to have to cut it off right about here and remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.